is no fluke. The Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Super Bowl 56.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I think if you would have told me before the season that we'd be going to the Super Bowl, I probably would have called you crazy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's intercepted, and Traven Howard clinches the NFC Championship game.
Today's guests, Rams offensive tackle Andrew Whitworth, Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, plus Championship Sunday recap and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show at 844-204-RICH, hopefully, is you. I've got my friends Chris Brockman and I've got Mike Rich. Del Tufo across the way here on this Monday after Championship Sunday. TJ Jefferson, good to see you here in hour number two. Overreaction Monday, a Championship Sunday edition of it, is coming up in this hour. Marshall Faulk from the greatest show on turf will be joining us in hour number three. He was in SoFi Stadium last night. I know because I watched much of the game standing right next to him. So it was a lot of fun seeing him last night. We'll recount some of his impressions of the Rams win over the 49ers and then, of course, the Bengals beating the Chiefs to make it Bengals at SoFi Stadium is the home team, believe it or not, because it's the AFC's year to be the home team, taking on the Los Angeles Rams in their home stadium for Super Bowl 56. And a man back in the Super Bowl, he made it with the team in his first year with the Rams. It was Sean McVay's first year. Interestingly enough, though, this time around, he's taking on the team that drafted him. He is Andrew Whitworth here again on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good, Rich. Appreciate you having me on, man.
Thanks for joining. All right. Congrats. what's going through your mind right now as you're tooling around Los Angeles right now?
Man, it's you know what? It's wild, Rich. It's hard to get it all together. You know, it's that day where you're happy, and then you're also just trying to figure out how you got where you are, and a lot of excitement and all that. But be a fun 2 weeks, that's for sure.
I know. Take me into the locker room last night after it was all over. What was that like?
Oh man, you know that whole thing on the field and the celebration and just it gets just a great opportunity to show your gratitude to all the people in the building that make up what is your organization. And that was a lot of fun, a lot of great energy, and really just a special moment you get to have with all those people that, you know, not just the players but everybody that's been so invested all throughout the year, and getting to that pinnacle really means a lot to so many different people and families and everything else. It was really special, the hugs, the embraces, the pictures, and just the overall excitement of everybody.
Speaking of hug and embracing, we're showing a photograph right now, Andrew, of you sharing one with Sean McVay. Can you let us be a fly on the wall? What was this one like when you saw him last night? What'd you say?
Really special. I mean, obviously our relationship has been extremely unique in the 5 years we've been here together, and I think something to us. You know, it's been a lot of time on and off the field, spending together, philosophizing over ball and culture and everything else. And so it's always really cool when we get to share some of those moments where we get to enjoy some of the long talks, the long evenings that we spend talking about what's right and enjoying what, you know, we've been able to both be a part of and build here in L.A.
When you're going through your process, you and your wife and family, about doing this one more time, is this what you dreamt of, obviously, Andrew?
I mean, I don't know if I could have dreamed a better scenario than really how this year's played out and in a lot of different ways, Rich. I mean, I think there's, you know, things you're involved in and things you're not. I mean, even having some games where I've had to miss for injury and having a young guy like Joe Noteboom that I've, you know, mentored since the day he got here and see him come in and play well and get and win games for us And then, you know, so you almost get to see the totality of all of it. And then some of the things that we've been able to do and young guys rise up. And it's just been so special. And then now to be playing a franchise that I poured my heart and soul into for 11 years. And, you know, for them to be where they are and have a relationship with a lot of those folks, I couldn't be more grateful, honestly. Just, it's as I said, my heart's full for both franchises. And I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, your wife tweeted out a photograph of you embracing, saying it's all worth it. So that's got to be cool to see that from your wife, right, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, it is. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, sacrificing things that you don't get to be around for your kids for, and different family moments, and there's a lot of sacrifices that my wife makes and my kids make for me to get to do this, I think it makes it all worthwhile when you get to these kind of moments.
Andrew Whitworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. And again, it is kind of wild. It's the Bengals, too. And an LSU quarterback quarterbacking them, too. Andrew, this is kind of freaky to me. I wonder what likes you.
It is. To think that last December, Joe Burrow is fresh off of his ACL surgery, and I'm trying to rehab a PCL and MCL tear. And we're sitting in my house watching NFL football games together on a Sunday, both in crutches and knee braces. And then now for us to be playing each other in the Super Bowl, it's just been a wild year. I'll put it that way.
So you and Joe Burrow rehab together, Andrew?
No, we have the same team, Dr. Elitrosh,
right,
did his surgery. And so I had never actually met Joe or talked to him while he was at LSU. I'd sent him some messages over the time he was there, but we'd never met. And obviously when he got to Cincinnati, through me knowing Zach Taylor really well, I got to hear about him a lot. But when I heard that he was out here in L.A. doing his rehab with Dr. Elitrosh, I reached out to him, and he came over to the house. And we spent some time together watching NFL football. And then he also came over for the draft when they drafted Ja'Marr Chase this year. So we've had some time to hang out and get to know each other over the last year. And now for us both to be in the Super Bowl is pretty crazy.
Dude, I did not know that. So he's at the draft, and that's how he learns officially that Ja'Marr Chase, LSU teammate, was going to be his professional teammate. You're all LSU Tigers together. I mean,
yeah, we're sitting in my house watching the draft together.
So then I guess your impressions of Joe Burrow then, before we get to your quarterback.
Oh, I mean, I've always been on record saying he's going to be really special. That time I got to spend with him last year when he was injured, just hearing how his mind works and really just the way he's wired, extremely rare. And he's going to be a real special one for a really long time. And I walked away from that day I spent with him thinking that, here's the next Peyton, the next Tom, the next, Drew Brees, whoever you want to call it. This guy is extremely, extremely rare, and he's going to be a really good one for a long time.
Andrew Whitworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. What does making the Super Bowl mean for Stafford, the guy whose back you literally and figuratively have, Andrew?
Oh, I think it's so awesome. I mean, when you look at a guy like Staff and really how good he's been, but just hasn't been in a great situation for so long, to come here and take advantage of the op. I mean, it's all this pressure when you get him that he, had to take on, and it's like everyone expects you to do this and that, but you still have to go out and perform. You still have to actually make it all come to life. And for him to do that and lead us the way he has, I can't imagine what a feeling it's got to be, a gratification for him. To not only have the pressure and the expectation to be a difference maker, but to actually be it. It's got to be a really cool feeling and something that gives you a real positive belief in yourself and what you're capable of, to be able to see it through like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect way to put it, to have it and then be it.
Yeah.
That is, it sounds so simple, but it is so very difficult. How was he last night when you got a chance to have maybe a quiet moment with him?
Yeah, I mean, we spent some time after the game, and then later that night we got together a little bit, and yeah, I mean, just emotional, and you could tell just so grateful, and that's who he is. I mean, his character is second to none. He's an awesome guy, an awesome human, and that's what makes it fun as well. And so I'm sure he's enjoying his girls and his wife Kelly, and then we're probably spending some time being grateful today, and they should be. I mean, we're grateful to have him. We're grateful for what he's done to get us where we are, and I can imagine he's probably pretty emotional today.
And what about a fellow LSU Tiger in Odell? What does it mean, do you think, for him, your teammate, to make the Super Bowl here in Los Angeles after him coming here middle of the season, Andrew Whitworth? You think of that?
Yeah, it's wild. You know, Rich, all these things fall into place. I can remember actually when we were in the Super Bowl against the Patriots in the end of 18 season, seeing Odell at one of the NFLPA events, and him giving me a hug and begging for a chance for us to play together, and us talking about it. And really since then, we've always just kind of chatted about it. And for it to come to life this year, it's just been so crazy. And here we are with an opportunity to go play in a Super Bowl and get a chance to try and hoist that Lombardi. So, it's one of those things, all just seems to come together for a really cool moment. And like I said, I mean, I couldn't be more ecstatic about the situation and circumstance of this whole thing and who I'm doing it with.
So do you think this might not have happened if y'all didn't run into Stafford in Cabo about a year ago this time?
Andrew? Yeah, I mean, pretty wild to think that exactly a year ago yesterday that happened and the trade went through. So it's been a wild year, as we said last night. What a 365 days that's been. And you know what? It's unbelievable. It's a script for a movie or something. I don't know. It's pretty wild.
And in a few minutes I have left with you, Andrew Whitworth, I was talking about how the Niners had an opportunity to win on your turf, right, and play the Super Bowl on your turf. And that would be a calling card they could place onto the Rams every single year forevermore. I'm wondering if that was part of yesterday. Obviously, the trip to the Super Bowl, there's no higher stakes other than the game you're about to play. But I'm wondering if that crept into your minds, like not on that field, not in that manner, not on that day yesterday, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm sure throughout the week those thoughts, go through your mind of how rough a couple weeks that would probably be for you. Having them be in your city and enjoying a Super Bowl trip and possibly winning one would be tough. And, but at the end of the day, the biggest thing we knew is that they're an extremely good football team and have a lot of really good football players. And we knew we were going to have to play our absolute best, and there was going to be bumps along the road, and we were going to have to be in that thing till the very last second. And it proved to be that way. But, man, what a football team they are. I mean, I couldn't have more respect for a team and their players and really the way they operate and how they compete. I mean, it's been extremely impressive to watch this season, and we knew it was going to take our best to win.
No, I know, and I know it's a sensitive subject, but I'm going to go there anyway. The idea that you have to go silent snap count so often in your building with a diehard Nails rival on the other side, what is that like, Andrew?
Yeah, it's tough. It is tough. It's a tough situation, but you know what? They have a great following, a great crowd that follows them, and it's kind of always been that way. I can remember even in Cincinnati when they'd come there a few times we played them, just what a insane following of crowds and how well they travel and stuff, and it's impressive. But it makes it tough, but it also makes it every bit as sweet, man, because all those people got to watch us win.
It's a good answer. All right.
And that's a really nice way right there.
You know what? Because, I saw your Instagram, too. I don't know if you want to visit that here or not, but, about tickets and things like that, Andrew.
Oh, yeah. It's all good.
Okay. All right. So last one for you. I'll just come straight out and ask you, do you think Super Bowl 56 is your last game?
Oh.
Andrew Whitworth, what do you think?
I'm pretty confident. I would say it's a much higher percentage that it is than it isn't. So, for us, I think it's coming to that point in my life where I'm ready to do something else. And I've had a lot of fun. I got a lot of people here I love and invested in, and I'm ready to watch them do their thing. And I'm going to try and go out one last ride.
And then, so if this is, in fact, all right, what does it mean that you did it? You came back, man. You rehabbed, you came back, and you are in the Super Bowl. Not just that, but it is a home Super Bowl. You stay in your home, I'm assuming. What does that mean, Andrew, for you?
It's something I think I'll have a better grasp on over the years. But, right now, just something that's like, it's hard for me to not get emotional to even think about. Just to overcome really last year's injury and to be where I'm at and to be in this moment and have helped us get to where we are. It's really special for me and my family, and we know the dedication it took and really the blessings and everything that were involved to be where we are. And more importantly, to be doing it with people that we couldn't love and appreciate and be happier to be doing it with. And that's what's made it really special for me is when I look across our building, there's so many people that I want to go win for and every single week. And I think that's what makes it special and then something we really enjoy. And We're just very, very extremely grateful to be where our feet are, and couldn't be happier to have it all happen like this. I mean, to play Cincinnati, a place we care and love so much, and have a lot of people there we believe in and care about, and then also to be here and invested and love this building. What a cool story.
I love it. Andrew, I couldn't be happier for you. Really couldn't be happier for you and your family. Congratulations on all.
Really. I appreciate it, Rich.
You got it. Oh, last one for you. Are you going to be in the visitors' locker room? Are the Bengals taking your locker room? Do they have the ability to do that for the Super Bowl? Do you know?
I think that the locker rooms, we're still in ours, and they're in the other one. But I'm not totally sure on that, but I think that somebody told me that last week.
Yeah.
So I think we're still in our locker room.
Okay, because, it's been a long time since you took your stuff out of a locker, so
I think the way SoFi is built is there's multiple, so...
Oh, my bad. Yeah, they had some money left over after the $5.5 billion, is what you're saying? Yeah. My bad.
There's a little space in there.
Okay, fantastic. Andrew, congrats. Let's talk over the next couple of weeks. I'll reach out. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, Rich.
You're the best. That's the best. Andrew Whitworth right there, a Super Bowl 56 left tackle at the age of 40. Tom Brady was the last 40-year-old to play in the Super Bowl. Here's another one.
Amazing.
Or at least the new 30, guys.
It is that.
Wit.
Yeah, it's funny. I should say this right here then, because Susie just Instagrammed this one out today. On her stories, it's kind of funny. For that line, hold on a minute. Of course, I don't have it ready. Here we go.
Keep tap dancing.
No, I'm just going to tell you. Here it is. I saw this. This is funny. Oh God, now it's gone. Something like, she keeps hearing, 50 is the new 40 or something like that. Just like what you said, and 40 is the new 30. 30, yeah. But all you know is that getting older is 9 p.m. is the new midnight.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
55
you see that
is one? New 5 for me, Rich.
That's what I said.
Well, that's what Brockman was last night. He was in bed by what, 7:40?
I was in bed at 7:50 last night.
What happened?
Oh, he's old.
It was amazing. We had a friend of ours got married on Saturday, so we were at a wedding. And just,
Oh, a little
something
exhausting.
Well, yeah. I had a ceremony known as a early ass call time, the 2 weeks after oversleeping for the first time in my 26-year career. So I did not have a very great night's sleep on Saturday and Sunday. Like it was late every half hour. Yeah, it's like, what time? What do we got?
Yeah.
But I
answered the bell though, all 6 hours.
You did, Rich.
Thank you.
We always do.
Phone calls when we come back, and overreaction Monday as well. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop
from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
So, as you just heard from Andrew Whitworth talking about Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow right now doing what he's doing on a professional national football stage after what he did in the collegiate level, everybody's talking about LSU football once again, maybe sending one of the all-time best to the next level at quarterback. And so the LSU brand is as sterling as it has ever been. And here's the latest example of it that went viral on Twitter. Go ahead and hit it. There it is. There's Brian Kelly. Oh, wait a minute. I'm told this is the exact opposite. I don't know what he's doing.
What are we doing?
Is he Lane Kiffin? This is with him over
Danny Lewis. This is Danny Lewis, the junior, the tight end recruit that they are celebrating by dancing to. And I guess, is this good? I mean, I should ask Zan, is this the good TikTok stuff? I mean,
I don't think so.
Dancing behind him, and
it's weird.
Apparently, he's done this also. He did it with Walker Howard, right? So he's done that with as well. This is what he's doing. He's dancing, and I don't know who came up with this idea. I don't know. And
what are you doing?
It's not a great one.
No.
You know what that is? It is as I tweeted out. This is the yummy rat poison. I would love if, please, if we're all looking for content, clearly LSU's looking for content. They're like, let's do this. It's young. Maybe players love it, and it's great on TikTok, and yeah, this maybe. Guy is as crazy like a fox. And he's also having the time of his life, too, Brian Kelly, because this is the sort of stuff you don't do at Notre Dame.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, this is he's literally in the SEC letting his freak flag fly for the first time, and, you know, he doesn't have to have the seriousness of Notre Dame football anymore, and he's having fun. So yeah. I know that I'm looking at it wondering what he's up to. But here, if we're looking for content, please, Alabama, have somebody shoot video, GoPro, whatever you want, showing this to Nick Saban, and put that on your Twitter account. Please. His unvarnished reaction, whatever it is, somebody had to have shown him, hey, coach, you got to take a look at this. Hand him a phone.
Look what Kelly's
doing. And see his reaction. Or say to him, this is a hugely popular thing at LSU.
Yeah, we should
do it. And that's like punk him, right? Like an old Ashton Kutcher,
right.
Punking.
There's no way.
Sit him down and say, hey, coach, this is, look how many millions of views. We could. LSU's beating us at the TikTok game, coach. Like, can you, put that on your Twitter feed, Alabama? Please, I'm begging you.
I just want to hear this.
How great would that be?
Be pretty great.
I want to hear him describe.
Coach, we're getting beat by Brian Kelly.
More views.
TikTok, please do that.
I'm very into this idea.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our terrestrial radio outfit, where I just showed Brian Kelly dancing with recruits at LSU and Alabama. Should punk Nick Saban. I know that's a dicey proposition for anybody working for Alabama Crimson Tide football, but just please go up to him and make it seem like we've got an idea. This has come up from our social media department. We're getting beat at the social media game right now by LSU. Brian Kelly is dancing with recruits, getting millions of views. I think we should try this.
Punking Nick Saban?
Punking Nick Saban is a great fantasy team name. Very good. Give it a whirl, see how it goes. Or you troll on LSU by having him do that.
That's what you do.
Oh, gosh. Well, the choice of Brian Kelly to do the John Travolta
Pulp Fiction
dancing with Uma Thurman move.
Oh,
it's next level.
You can take a personal choice.
Jack Rabbit Slim.
Can we do that? Can we put out on the Rich Eisen show that video, use that, and overlay the song that John Travolta did dance to? In Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Is that a good idea, or that's just too, it's just too, too inside?
No, I like it. I love it.
Can we do that, TJ?
Sure. We'll figure that out.
Are you just saying that, or you really don't want to spend your time doing that?
I mean, I got some free time this afternoon for sure. I can knock that out.
Rich, Raiders 2 p.m. Pacific press conference call.
For Josh McDaniels, right?
I would assume so.
Oof.
Here we go.
You guys all thought he was going to be the next coach.
Dude, I mean, Here, I'll, can I dive into this?
That tells me Bill's not retiring.
So let me. Yeah. Exactly. Well, that was as you and I had the same reaction to Bill is coming back for 2022. Like
what?
What?
He wasn't.
Are you talking about like what? That's. He's as energized and as engaged as ever. He's got a young quarterback there that clearly is the right choice.
Yeah.
And
he made the playoffs.
And then, you know, clearly he's going to have this thing set up for a long time to come. He's apologizing to reporters for being too brusque.
He's changing
brusque. I mean, come on. Like he's
changing, Rich.
He's totally different. But I will say this about the McDaniels hire, two things. One, I would be concerned for you, Chris, that, you know, this guy is a terrific coach.
Yeah, really.
All right. Who is a, without a doubt, one of the reasons why Mac Jones looked the way that he looked.
I think you're right.
Okay. And so in the same way that I turned to TJ and I'm like, hey, man, you better not lose Dan Quinn for all those young kids. Mm-hmm. You just lost a huge piece of the puzzle as to why, you know, this kid looked as well as he looked. Maybe do you reach and go get Bill O'Brien out of Alabama and bring him back?
I know.
I mean, why wouldn't you knock on the same doors and just, I don't know. Like, it'll be keen to see who they or who will wind up in the press guide once they put it out later on this fall as offensive coordinator because they're going to keep it under wraps and keep us guessing all the way through to then. That's usually the way it works.
Also, Rich, that's Pro Bowler Mac Jones.
That's true. That's right.
Pro Bowl.
Who said they're not going for Mac to be the alternate to step up? Was it Burrow?
Because Burrow obviously can't go now.
Did Mahomes say, you know, ooh, my arm. Ooh.
Ooh.
That's what Aaron Rodgers. Ooh, my toe.
Brady also not playing in the Pro Bowl.
Didn't Cousins make it because Rodgers? Rodgers sent Kirk Cousins to the Pro Bowl. He owns the Bears and he sends the Vikings quarterbacks to the Pro Bowl. Let me just hit this too about McDaniels and more of the coaching. All right. If the Raiders are going the same route that the Lions tried, the same route that the Texans tried. Keep going, right? Keep going. The Browns tried. Everybody keep the Jets tried with Mangini, with the man genius. Yeah. Everybody keeps taking fruit from the Belichick vine, and it is very difficult to replicate it for various reasons. One is the person you're hiring is, what's the way to put it? Not Bill Belichick. And two.
Yeah.
Two, it took Belichick, and this is one thing maybe for McDaniels, is that you have to put into place the Belichick way after you've won there, right? Like, people are just, bam, put their stamp down on guys who are just like, who is this guy? I know he's his assistant. It just doesn't seem to work when the stamp gets put before the winning. And maybe, just maybe, for McDaniels, it took Belichick the second time to get it successfully correct. One would say his tenure in Cleveland was ended by the Browns moving. Okay. He did actually make the playoffs and beat Bill Parcells in the playoffs. Correct?
Yeah.
In Cleveland. So we'll see if McDaniels gets it right the second time, because the first time in Denver was no bueno. I mean, he drafted Demaryius Thomas and Tebow there, and everyone's like, what are you doing? Yeah, won six in a row. Remember, they started 1 year six in a row, and then it fell completely apart.
Remember, they beat the Pats, and he was like fist pumping.
Fell
on the
totally apart.
Yeah.
Let's see if this does work in Vegas.
I would say Derek Carr is probably pretty happy today.
I don't know, unless he feels like, think about it. Everywhere, you know, Belichick, first thing he did is he got rid of Bernie Kosar. That's what made him instantly unpopular and brought in Vinny Testaverde. How do you know? They might have come in and say, look, we don't want to pay Derek Carr, and he's out.
He can play, though.
I know that. Or he's going to, like, I guess that'll be part of the press conferences. What are you going to do about Derek Carr? Literally the first question.
Should be. No, Derek Carr in Tampa might be nice.
Yeah, well, what Tampa's now in the quarterback market?
Jimmy G going to Tampa.
Hold on.
Allegedly.
Right now, Tampa is planning on being in the quarterback market.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know anything yet.
We expect Tampa to be in the quarterback market. As Tom plans to, the whole business too. Hold on a minute. Let me just hit this one more time.
We will take phone calls.
All right, no. I'm sorry. This is my problem. I'm writing this down to hit this later on. The whole plans to thing.
I mean, we could do 6 hours today.
Okay. One phone call real quick here. Let's go to Peter in South Korea. Has been waiting forever. South Korea, I'm sorry if you've been racking up your charges. What's up, Peter?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Peter?
Yes.
Happy Lunar New Year, guys.
I guess. Also, thank you. What do we say? Happy Tuesday to you? Yeah. Is that what we say to you?
Yeah, happy Tuesday, I guess.
Very good. Okay. Well, we're about to do Overreaction Monday here in the United States. So what's on your mind?
It's the year of the Tiger this year, and we got some Bengals in the Super Bowl. Oh. We got some LSU Tigers in the Super Bowl. It's a good year.
Okay.
I'm hyped for the Batman to lead the Bengals into victory in SoFi. You know, the Rams be damned. I'm going Bengals all the way, man.
You know what? Bengals fever has reached all the way to South Korea. We love being an international show right here. It's really incredible. I like that. And Tiger Woods, we saw him come back, right, with his son, right?
Out there, buddy.
You're a Tiger. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You be well. Over there in South Korea. Taking calls. All right.
International, Rich. You're international, baby.
A man of mystery.
You know what I'm saying?
844-204-RICH. More phone calls still to come. You're on hold. Stay on hold. Enjoy this post-championship Sunday edition of Overreaction Monday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays. Monday.
All right.
Okay, guys. Hey, you know what we're not talking about today? NFL overtime. You want to know why?
Oh, it's just fine.
Yeah. NFL overtime works exactly as it should, as it is. No change needed.
You know what, Chris? You're supposed to act like you've been there before in the NFL, right? Don't spike the football.
Supposed to, but
yeah. and I was going to tweet this out. But I didn't want to because I thought Bills fans would take it like I'm trolling on them.
Well, Josh Allen tweeted out yesterday, too.
What did he tweet?
With the coin toss, he was just like, "Yeah, you got it, Mike? I don't want to misquote."
No, I mean, but pain. He wrote pain.
Because the Chiefs won the toss.
Well, you know what also happened yesterday? The Bengals squibbed it at one point, and the Chiefs got it on their 20.
And killed 4 seconds.
Correct.
Trying to return it.
Correct. Just showed you how it's done. And how it's done is you can lose the toss, stop the other team,
and then win the game.
Like, that's the way the overtime rules work for whoever loses the toss. You know, so I agree, Chris, that is a proper reaction. And the overreaction came last week. What else?
No change, right? And there's not going to be any change?
Oh, I think this sealed no change.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. I think no change is in the rafters. You could put that banner up at the competition committee meeting right now.
All right, Rich, I wrote this one last night, so this was before you had even brought up the possible comparison. But Joe Burr, guys, best big game young quarterback since TB12.
I'm telling you, Chris, I can't imagine. You gave me serious pushback in the A block of this program.
I know, but this is an overreaction.
And then you get this overreaction, and I'm telling you what's coming for the Super Bowl. Certainly, if Brady's plans to retire and the expectation that we have that he's going to retire actually leads to a retirement, and the nostalgia of all things Brady will be in its first bloom, that here comes a kid like Joe Burrow, albeit drafted one without the 99 behind it, and albeit missing his first full year of starting with a knee injury, not because he was starting behind somebody with a $100 million contract like Brady did behind Bledsoe, but coming in year two to take on the Rams, in a game that nobody thinks that his team's got a shot, even though Vegas has them 4-point underdogs without the one in front of it, like Brady's team was against those Rams. Yeah. It's coming. Get ready for this storyline. It's going to be hammered like crazy. Not an overreaction to be talking about it. Obviously, to sit here and be able to crown him as such right now. Let's see how he plays first. He's got to get this Super Bowl to really get this conversation going, that he's got one in his second year, which is a great way to start if you're going to try and get 7 championships and 10 appearances out of the way.
Yeah, nobody has ever won a national championship, Heisman Trophy, and a Super Bowl. No one's ever done it. He could do it in 3 years.
Well, correct, because what? At quarterback, right?
At quarterback.
Because Marcus Allen won a Heisman Trophy and then a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP. Did he win a national championship at USC?
Yeah, I don't believe
all right.
so.
What else, Chris?
Okay. The Bengals were awesome. They deserve all the credit they're doing, but I don't want to let the Chiefs off the hook, okay? This was the worst home loss in AFC championship game history.
That's an overreaction. That's an overreaction.
What's a better one?
Well, I don't know. I guess when you blow 18 points, you know.
And a chance to score before the half.
Right, the Colts came back from an 18-point deficit against the Patriots, but they were the home team. I don't know, man. If the Bengals go on to win the Super Bowl and start performing as well as we think they can perform over the next few years, then that's not that big of an upset. Then the crazy upset.
21-3 with a chance to tack on points before the half, and they get the ball to start the third quarter.
They blew it. I just can't think off the top of my head to say it's the worst ever that's ever been had by anybody.
Rich, the segment is overreaction.
So that's why I'm saying it's an overreaction. What else?
Okay, here's another one. This was the last year. The door is officially shut on the Chiefs AFC dominance.
That's an overreaction, too.
Why?
Why wouldn't it? Why couldn't they get it together next year win it again
next year?
Here we
go. Look at the quarterbacks that we have in the AFC.
Yes.
We got Joe Burrow now playing in the Super Bowl in year two. We got Josh Allen. We got Justin Herbert, who we all love. We got Mac Jones. Say what you will. We got Aaron Rodgers probably going to the AFC. That's 5, maybe 6. Derek Carr still good. Raiders have a new coach. Just in the AFC.
So let me flip it. When Brady was doing his thing, Peyton Manning is in the AFC, right?
Yeah, but they kept winning.
Right. That's my point. That also...
Brady went 3 out of 4 to start his career.
Stop. Hold on a minute. When Brady was dominant, okay, they also, in the AFC, had Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, 3 guys who will... Most likely with Philip too, sharing a bus room with Tom.
Fair.
Let me see off the top of my head as well. What Steve McNair was playing football around that time as well, right?
Brady went 10 years without winning one, though.
I know that. But then he did come back and dominate again.
Okay, I'm just saying.
So that's why I'm saying, last for you to sit here and talk to me about how all the great quarterbacks that there are in the AFC means that the door is now shut on Mahomes and the Chiefs being dominant in the AFC.
I'm overreacting.
And I'm telling you it's an overreaction. Like, we're going down the same road again.
All right, here's one more.
Like you push back when I say
I just want you to agree with me.
Okay.
All right, one more on the Chiefs stuff. The Mahomes mystique kind of took of a big hit yesterday.
There's no question.
Took a big hit.
No doubt.
What was he doing in the second half?
No doubt. No doubt about that. Not an overreaction. And it will be up to him to perform in the manner that I just mentioned is still possible to dominate. It is going to be on him to do that. Because last year's Super Bowl loss was put on the offensive line. This one is on the shoulders of Mahomes. And in between the temples of Mahomes. You're already seeing the all-22 of some guys. You were showing me before the show.
Yeah, right before the
right,
overtime.
The sack that he took that did lead to Butker still splitting the uprights to force overtime. There were wide-open guys.
Yeah, Kelsey
and
Pringle.
And a great pocket as well. I don't know what was going on. He'll survive it. He'll bounce back. He's still Patrick Mahomes. But in terms of, that's Mahomes. It's going to be tough to go in his building. But the last two guys to have done it in his building, To beat him?
Brady and Joe Burrow.
I'm telling you, get ready for that over the next 2 weeks for those dots to be more and more connected. They already were when we were talking about him coming out of LSU, and I'm looking at his tape. How many people were like, I know it's kind of crazy to say, and it's too much to put on this young kid, but he looks like Brady. We heard that a lot.
I just remember
as he was coming out of LSU getting ready to be drafted.
I just remember hearing about Burrow that he had small hands. Like that was.
He tweeted that out too.
That's what I remember hearing. I don't remember any Tom Brady
dude,
talk.
So you know, there was a lot of. Look it up on our show. We had a couple of analysts say, you know, he kind of has a decision making ability and an ability to get the ball out quickly and be accurate like Brady.
All right, I want to put it in this because it could be a full segment. I want to ask you about the Bills 90s run and the Chiefs run we just had. Don't let me forget about that.
Bills 90s Chiefs.
All right, let's move on.
When you want to talk about that, like right now or another time?
No, because it could take I still have a few more. Rich, okay. I was hot last night.
All right.
The most important piece of the Rams offense.
Odell Beckham. Yeah, man.
First 100-yard game since week six, 2019.
It's the run game. It's still always
the non-existent
run game.
Run game yesterday.
The non-existent run game yesterday. It will still always. It's always still going to be the run game. That'll be the key to. You're going to hear that quite a bit. That's what the Chiefs should have done against the Bengals yesterday when they're putting eight guys back in coverage. Just
they
run
were
the ball.
Begging them to run the ball.
So if they do that to Stafford, you know what's coming at you? Cam Akers is coming at you, and Sony Michel's coming at you. That's the difference.
Odell's been awesome though.
He has been terrific.
Weeks,
he's been great. Cup, bro. I mean, come on now.
No, but Odell.
Odell being terrific is a delight to see, and him in the Super Bowl is what awesome. America. Like, if that guy does his one-handed grab stuff in the Super Bowl, like he did on that Monday night years ago, was it Sunday night? It was Sunday night, because I remember Al and Chris were calling it.
In depth.
Stuff that we will be seeing forever. He pulls that in the Super Bowl. And I hope for his sake he does. Sorry, Bengals fans.
All right, two more.
Yeah.
Jimmy G played his final game for the 49ers.
Not an overreaction. I think he has. I told you that coming in. I told you he was going to play his last game for the Niners either in the playoffs. Even if it was winning the Super Bowl, they were going to trade him. That's a fact. I would be stunned if he's still on this team next year. It's Trey Lance's gig, people, for a million reasons. What else you got over there?
Is it Trey Lance's gig in San Francisco, or is it Tom Brady's?
Are you read it out loud? I want the radio audience to hear your last overreaction.
Tom Brady will be the 49ers quarterback next season.
You're so
he
ridiculous.
Wanted to go there so originally.
Stupid. So stupid.
Okay, when John Lynch and Bill Belichick talked on the phone, who was the first quarterback that John Lynch asked for?
I got it.
You can say it into the microphone.
So he's doing all this to tell the Bucks I'm done,
right? But
and then come out of okay.
His last spite season will be in San Francisco.
You have really. Are you still drunk from the wedding you went to over the weekend?
Very possible.
Okay, very good.
We had a good time.
That is. Is that the stirring conclusion of Overreaction Monday?
Now I'm done.
Stirring. Okay, very good.
Conclusion. Hey, don't forget when Tom Brady went onto LeBron's show. Remember he made that comment about keeping this so-and-so?
They keep this MF-er instead of me?
We kind of think it was... You know it's Tannehill.
It could have been San Francisco, though, Brockman. Let's start that rumor, Rich. Let's go with it.
By the way, I definitely need to know who that MF-er was.
It was either Jimmy or Ryan, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
It was Breeze.
Oh, man.
I don't think it was Breeze.
Let's take a break before Del Tufo tries to find that soundbite. All right.
When
we come back, more of your calls, and I definitely got to hit more on that overtime stuff coming up next. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to the phone lines here on the program. Let's go to Jeff in Detroit. Jeffrey, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Aunt Matt's cousins,
I want to share this. Cousin? I want to share this with you, Jeff, because I thought of you when I left the stadium last night. I looked down at my phone as soon as the game was over, right? And I looked down, and the first text that I have is from Chris Webber, and what it says is, "That's my quarterback," with the MY in capital letters.
Yes.
That's what he texted.
And that sets me up perfectly, Uncle Rich. Everybody has that same feeling for him. Dan Orlovsky, I really love that guy. I'm going to hit on him in a second. But the one thing I want to say is that all Rams fans need to thank Matt Patricia, because due to the turmoil of the Lions season, he was just done with the organization on a whole.
Stafford.
He had to get up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
He really did, because what everybody else now knows is that the Detroit Lions organization ran a team like the car company, and you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to go ahead, put your money on the for sure thing. And they, for some reason, they just didn't do that. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's, you were wasting his talents. 2016, Unc, the guy had eight come-from-behind wins in the fourth quarter. He was Captain Cardiac. We were called the Cardiac Cats. But it was just them just mistreating his career and just not putting the pieces around him and being sure with him like they are now. And listen, looking at him doing what he does, the guy has always been clutch in my eyes. It's just that the world gets to see it now. When Darren Orlovsky was saying he would want nobody but Matt Stafford to have the ball in the fourth quarter with almost no time on the clock. The guy has a clock in his head, and his clutch gene just kicks in. Whenever he's behind, it's almost like Seabiscuit or a Secretary. You got to line up with that horse, and when you feel threatened, it's at that point that clutch gene kicks in, and oh, my goodness, we are seeing some great, great football. My question to you, though, is this, Unc.
Mm-hmm.
In all your years of working at NFL and doing this, how does this season stack up? Because, I mean, the last couple of Mondays you guys come in, it's basically just go for what you know. You know, the show basically writes itself.
Mm.
This has been such great football. Like Chris said, you can go 6 hours and talk about this. This is some of the greatest football we've all ever experienced.
Yeah, narrative generating machine. Thanks for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it. I'll take when the rest of the radio audience returns. That's Jeff in Detroit right there talking about his quarterback and Matthew Stafford, diehard Lion fan. Right there, back here on the terrestrial radio outfit, one of our callers, our friend Jeff from Detroit, asked me, where does a season rank? I mean, you know, this is my 19th season with the NFL Network, and the way Week 18 ended, I said that was the greatest Sunday in the history of me covering the league. Remember Week 18 ended with the Steelers and the Ravens and the Colts losing to the Jaguars, and then the Rams and the Niners playing each other while the Seahawks and the Cardinals played each other and the Saints had a chance to get in and we're going to get in, but the Niners came back on the Rams and Arizona made it, but the Rams won the division and then we get the nightcap that couldn't end in a tie for the Steelers to advance, and then it almost ended in a tie. I mean, that was insane. The wild card weekend kind of stunk in terms of competition. The super wild card weekend were all blowouts, and then comes the divisional weekend where every single game ended with no time left on the clock or in overtime, and the first game of championship weekend ended like that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Both championships games decided by 3 points. Okay. So that's a rarity, too.
The last 2 weekends, every game was 3 points, and then the Chiefs won on a walk-off touchdown in overtime.
But I will take the prerogative of sitting here on this show to not only, answer calls and give people answers to questions that they provide, but also place front and center things of interest to me, especially revisiting them when I'm right.
Wow.
And and so I will take that prerogative here. You know, we sometimes zig when everyone else zags, because when I feel the zig right here and everybody else is zagging, I'm going to go with heart, gut, with my zig when everyone else is zagging. That's what I'll do.
I'm not mad.
Sometimes it won't be right. This time it was. And the whole country going crazy. The coin flip decided the Bills and the Chiefs. The coin flip, just a random flip of a coin. 50% chance of losing a game just by a flip of the coin. You spilled all your blood, sweat, and tears out on the field. Change the rules because the Chiefs won the toss and marched right down the field. Forget about all the stuff that happened beforehand. At that very moment, it's a coin flip that decided all that. And we said, no, just play better defense. Yep. And as a matter of fact, came up with the idea of removing the randomness of the coin flip from the overtime and folding it into the opening coin toss. That if you decide to take the ball, you win the opening coin toss, and you decide to take the ball to start the game, you not only start the game with it, you can start overtime with it, because your opponent now gets to start the second half with it. And if there's somehow a second overtime, that team that starts the second half of the regulation, you can get to start the second overtime. So you remove the randomness from it, and you can actually plan. You can actually strategize if that's necessary. The randomness is removed. We thought we fixed it. And then the football gods decide to chime in on the subject matter. Because for anybody like us, Chris, TJ, DJ Mikey D, when you're not doing something else, for folks like us who are saying after all that, when the people are howling.
Howling. Yeah.
Change the overtime rules.
Change.
You look at that. The Chiefs got it and marched down the field. Who are you saying that Buffalo should play defense, that they're the first-ranked defense in the NFL, certainly on third down? That side of the ball was gassed. How dare you?
How dare you?
Say play better defense. For the football gods then. To have the Kansas City Chiefs force overtime in the next game.
Like, wow.
Win the toss.
Win the toss.
Get the ball. Have Cincinnati play defense. Take the ball from Kansas City. Intercept Mahomes. And then win the game under the rules of overtime. As currently constituted, for that to happen, chef's kiss.
Ready
for
to
anybody
roll on the Rich Eisen
right
show.
Right here, zigging while the rest of the world zagged. For the actual action to illustrate what we've been saying here for a week.
Amazing.
Truly, couldn't script it. And it's the football gods saying, we agree, Rich.
Let's get them all. Let's hit them all now while we got the muscle.
And I'm telling you, anybody out there who thinks that the league should have changed it or should still change it, these get brought up in the competition committee. They will be like, did you see the tape of the AFC championship game or did you not?
Yeah, right.
Well, both teams weren't playing the same. But too bad. I mean, the football gods laying out exactly what we said. They could still improve it with the coin toss idea that we put out there. Hour three coming up, Marshall Faulk. Honestly, I thought that, and I was going to put that in a tweet like, huh, so Kansas City forces overtime, wins the toss. The other team played defense and stopped them?
Force a turnover.
And then kicked the field goal to win it. Huh, so it can work that way. I was going to tweet that up, and I thought my timeline would be a mess of Bills fans saying, well, we do play good defense normally, but we lost the toss and then have to go back and forth. And I'm like, you know what? It's sarcasm doesn't work. And it wouldn't have been in the direction of Bills fans. It had been in the direction of fans who thought that overtime rules should be changed, which was way more than just Bills fans in the last week. I mean, it was a nutty week for that subject matter. And I'm like, uh-oh, if the Chiefs score here and go down the field and score here.
Man.
But Mahomes was off, folks.
Off. Whole second
he
half.
He was off, folks, in the second half.
And he was like running around and doing twists in the backfield and trying to find guys. I don't know what he was doing.
He was off second half, man. Actually, you could say he was off at the end of the first half by not dirting the ball with seconds left to go as soon as whatever they were planning to throw it in the end zone. When he flipped that ball out to Tyreek Hill, I'm like, what are you doing?
You put that on Andy Reid at all?
Of course.
Tracy had the report that Mahomes kind of talked him out of it.
Kick it.
Yeah.
Kick the field goal. Take the three. Would have helped. Don't you think?
Well, and the game would have been to win.
Well, then actually, yeah.
Because it would have been tied then. And
kick the field goal. We were assuming, you can't take it from there and assume the score is the same way.
Sure.
But, yeah, you're getting the ball to start the second half. Like, sometimes just, you can go the speed limit. You can go the speed limit sometimes. You don't have to just rev the engine.
Or just.
And just too bad. Patrick, I get it. I trust you. I love you. You're great. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We were down by, we were only up by 11 the last time and we lost it. Let's go up by more than 11 this time in halftime.
Yeah.
And we'll win it. Now, obviously, you could sit here and say what ended up happening.
But going side to side.
That just made no sense, man. Made no sense. And you put a pin in that, and guess what? The Bengals unpin that thing, and they're in the Super Bowl. Marshall Faulk coming up.